Good morning, everyone. Oh, come on, the first service gave me a much better welcome than that. Good morning, everyone. There we go. Happy Palm Sunday. We're continuing this morning with our series, Time for Change. We'll be looking at Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. For this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today saying thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Palm Sunday. We ask, Lord, that you may empty me out and you may fill me up with your word, that the voice that they hear would not be my own, but it would be you speaking through me, Lord. I ask that you would touch everyone under the sound of my voice from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that your Holy Spirit will continue to work, rule, and abide within us. And in your name do we pray. Amen. So the choir did such an amazing job singing in the first service, and I caught the tail end at the second service. And it reminded me when I was in youth choir and growing up, some of you may be surprised, but I actually used to sing soprano. And I was the only male soprano in the choir. And when I got to college, I'm a tenor one, but I still feel like my voice sometimes is much higher than it should be. And one of the things I loved about being in the choir was it was a sense of community. It was how I learned how to put off my old self and connect with the new self that is found in Christ. And Pastor Dave did such an amazing job over the last couple of weeks, particularly last Sunday, talking about all the things that we need to lay aside, all the things that are not of God, that is part of our old self. And so I made a replica of myself over here. He looks a little bit more handsome than I do. But so Pastor Dave taught us that we are to take off impurity and rage and malice and greed and slander and sexual immorality and all that stuff cannot be in Christ. So once you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you no longer abide by this, but yet you abide in Christ, and Christ abides in you. Now, as I was growing up and I was in the youth group, I remember every end of August, the beginning of September, my mom would take us to the Montebello Mall for back-to-school shopping. And so this was an exciting time, because I grew up in the inner city and we didn't have much money. And so normally I get two pairs of pants and about three shirts, and we would splurge and I could eat at the eatery at the mall. And so as we came back down to our home and we pulled on our street, I noticed that there was a helicopter flying around. Now this is typical because it's Compton, so I would be concerned if there wasn't a helicopter flying around. But there was something different about this day. There was a situation between, I'm not sure if they were married, but a male and a woman, and they got into an argument, and unfortunately, she was murdered, and I saw the body. And as I was in my home, in the gate, and the SWAT teams come in, and all this stuff happened within maybe about 3 or 4 minutes. It was pretty quick. I remember just looking up and down the street of all the things that take place on this neighborhood in the inner city. There was robberies, there were rapes, there were drug sales, there were lying, there was all these things. Now, when you're not in Christ, I'm not surprised that I see these things. I'm sure you may see things like that on your workplace. People that gossip, lie, cheat. So I wasn't surprised to see that the old man looks like this. But what I was surprised to see is that that same church that I learned how to be the new man in and put on the new clothes of righteousness, which we're going to get into, that I was seeing some of the same things happening in the inner city were happening in the church. Now, It's all right if these things are happening in the inner city because they put on the old man. But when you are in Christ, he invites us to lay down ourselves and put on righteousness, to put on kindness, love, patience, gentleness, forgiveness, compassion. So the question I want to pose to you today, where are you in your walk with Christ as it relates to taking off the old man and putting on the new man? And the scripture we just read, if I could have 3 points this morning, I would say one is it's all about love, and love is relational. How do you love the person in your life that still has the old man? Or better yet, how do you love the person in your life that claim to have the new man, but yet they still have old ways? Then two, we're going to talk about love is intentional. So if love is all about being in relationships, it can cover a multitude of sins, then do we just naturally are born humble? Are we naturally born with kindness and patience? No. We have to intentionally put it on each morning. And then we'll end with love is unifying. Now, when I think of compassion, I did a Google search on Google of what I thought compassion, you know, what's a good image of compassion? So this image came up of this African-American baby with this, you know, Caucasian baby and giving them this kind of gentle compassion as he cries. And so I was trying to imagine what possibly could this baby be crying about? And then I realized that he's crying because Pastor Dave isn't preaching today. So I assure you that next Sunday, Pastor Dave will be preaching and you will be comforted by the Spirit. But even more so, there's a great story in the Bible of Jesus showing compassion. Remember the widow who had lost her son? Jesus showed her compassion. We have opportunities day in and day out on our jobs, at home, at school, to show people compassion. But then I was thinking, but what's compassion without kindness? So I Googled another picture, and this is an example of an armless man running in a race, accompanied by an opponent who is offering him water. Now that's kindness. When I was in high school, in ninth grade, many, many, many long time ago, and there was a gentleman in ninth grade that wanted to bully me. And my mom taught me, growing up, we had a rule in our home, that if you are challenged and someone is bullying you and want to fight you, if you come back home and you did not stand up for yourself, you'll be fighting me. And so keeping this image in my head, and I would say the bully was about this size. I mean, I'm 5'6 now, and so in high school I probably was like 5'4, so not much taller than I am now. And I remember him just coming up to me and picking on me in class. So finally, I went up to him after school was out. I was walking to the bus, and I said, so I understand you want to fight me. Unfortunately, I ride the bus to and from school, and it takes about an hour. So I can fight you tomorrow at 3:30 and catch the late bus if that works for you. And so, perplexed and confused, he looked at me and said, are you for real? And so my reply was, well, if 3:30 doesn't work, we can do 4, but that only leaves us for half an hour because the late bus leaves at 4:30. Do you want to know that he walked away and he has never bothered me since? Sometimes it takes a kind word, a kind spirit to put down on your enemy and to forgive them in love. But it doesn't quite stop there. Paul also says that we have to put on compassion, kindness. Now, humility, this is kind of a biggie. Now, the next picture you're going to see is of the Pope. And when I saw this, I was just astonished. Because if you think of the Pope as being in the Vatican City, he's holy, he's high, he's beloved by millions of Catholics, and here he is with some youth taking a selfie. Because even at that high status, he can humble himself. Isn't that what the Bible calls us to do? To humble ourselves, therefore, by the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time, casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Doesn't he say, draw near to me and I draw near to you? Doesn't he say, you abide in me and I'll abide in you? Well, that happens within the humility, within a humble spirit. Now, when I sent my notes in to the bulletin to have this printed, I did not put on there Dr. Marcus Hill, as you see in the bulletin. And when I saw that, I immediately ran into Pastor Steve's office and I said, Pastor Steve, we have a problem. And he said, what's the problem? I said, it says Dr. Marcus Hill on the bulletin. And he said, once again, what's the problem? I said, I'm preaching about humility. It can't say Dr. Marcus Hill on the bulletin. So I'm going to blame that on Jason. He's sitting back there in the red shirt. And if he tries to escape, I'll give you his address at the end of service. Humility. If the Pope can humble himself, so can we. If the Son of God can die on the cross for our sins without saying a mumbling word, to be pierced in the side, to humble himself, so can we. Humble little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And then gentleness. Gentleness is a phrase that I think sometimes we overlook. Now, this next picture is probably one of my favorites. So this is Lucas. And this picture was taken about 2 years ago when I was a keynote speaker at a conference in Florida. And there were about maybe 250, 300 students there. It was Wednesday night, so it was commitment night. So I'm sure the students know what that means. This is the night that we've told you the gospel. We've been discipling you throughout the week, and Wednesday night is a night, we call it the cry night, because all the kids are crying, and they realize they have sin, and then they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they swear off girls, and girls swear off boys, and it's all that mushy stuff. And so the kids are on a high from being at camp. I'm on a high because I'm like, whoa, this is so awesome. I just preached and all these kids are coming to Christ. And I go back to my dorm room and to my cabin. I get in there and there's Lucas. And Lucas is about, he's three. He has his pajamas and he has his arms out like this. And I'm talking to a three-year-old. Lucas, all these people accepted Christ and this is so awesome. And I'm just waiting for him to laugh and giggle. And he's just like that. And so I picked Lucas up and he laid his head on my shoulder. And then it hit me that sometimes they don't need to hear all that. They just want a hug. See, when you are in the Spirit and you are operating from the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will let your spirit know what is needed. Whether it's compassion, whether it's kindness, whether it's patience, whether it's love, or whether it's gentleness. Sometimes students come to my office and they're having a rough day. And they talk. And sometimes they come with the facade that they want advice, but really they just want to be heard. And they just want a gentle hug, a gentle pat on the back, a gentle saying, hey, you'll get through this. And then we come to patience. Patience is a hard one for me. I struggle with patience. So we won't spend too much time on it because I don't want to get convicted in the spirit. This is a picture that I got. I had of patience. And for all you dog lovers, this is for you. I'm not a dog lover, so this is a freebie here. Sometimes it's hard to be patient. We live in a world, we want things now. I imagine when I get on the freeway, I typically get in the fast lane because I have somewhere to be. And when there's too much traffic and I can't get in the fast lane, I have to stay in the slow lane. But I'm upset because the person in the slow lane is going slow. And it's like, come on, just we got to get to it. But we live in a world where time is money and money is time. So being patient sometimes isn't necessarily on our radar. So if love is relational and it encompasses compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, how do we do this when we are still struggling putting off the old man? Now, I struggle with this passage all week. Like, this was not an easy sermon for me to write. In fact, I didn't sleep last night, and I came in this morning, and I was just a wreck. And I bumped into Pastor Steve, and Pastor Steve is complimenting me, oh, you're wearing, you know, you got your tie on, and I just start bawling like a baby. I'm just crying. And so we go in my office, and I'm saying, I don't think I can preach today. I said, and he said, well, are you sick? I said, no. He said, are you emotionally sick? And I said, yes. I said, I still struggle with anger. When I think about all the people that I encountered in the church growing up, all of them, not all of them, some of them had malice towards other people. Some of them were lying to other people. Some of them would condemn the person in the church that's struggling with homosexuality, but it's okay to lie and to gossip or not pay your tithes, as if one is bigger than the other. I was angry in the church when, depending on how much you pay, dictates where you are in leadership in the church. My friends, that is not the clothes that Christ is asking us to wear. If you are in Christ and Christ is abiding in you, then you need to abide in him and allow that love that surpasses all understanding be inside you so you can be compassionate. So I told Steve that I am grieved because that was so many years ago, but yet the hurt and the pain is so real. If love is relational, if compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience, if all of that is relational and we're called to love, that means we need to have the bandwidth in order to do so in. So if a person is sick and you will send food over, or if a person is sick and you say, oh, I should call someone for them to go check them out, what does it mean for you within your busyness, within your schedules, within your iPads, within your phone, within your calendars, to go and be present? Compassion is entering into the suffering of people. It's the inconvenient, but yet it's what God has called us for. Jesus himself, when he heard the news that John the Baptist's head was cut off and was served on a silver platter, did not have time to grieve when the disciples came to him, because the crowd of multitude was following him as he was going to Bethesda. And he said, he turned around, and that's when he fed the 5,000, and he said, I have to teach them because they are sheep without a shepherd. It wasn't a convenient time for him, but yet he showed compassion. It would not have been a convenient time for me when that bully wanted to beat me up. I could have easily went to the principal. I could have easily went home to my mom and cried. I could have easily engaged in fighting, but yet a kind word of saying, hey, you want to do this? Then let's do it. I can't do it today, but I can do it tomorrow. Because the love of God is in me, and I want you to experience that love. So if all of these things are relational, how should we put this on in the morning? If we've taken off all the things that we should not have on, then love has to be intentional. Have you ever known someone that was prideful that all of a sudden they hit their foot against something or they slam their finger in the door and then all of a sudden they have humility? No. Intentionality. We have to be intentional about showing compassion. Intentional about loving people. And I'm not talking about loving the people that you like. I am talking about loving the people that you don't like. I'm talking about loving the people that get under your skin. I am talking about when you see them grieve in the spirit, that you grieve with them, even though you may not like them, because the love of Christ is in you, and now you want that same love to be with them. So as a result of putting on the compassion and putting on all these virtues, putting on this apparel, as a result of that, it says that we must forbear and forgive. My friends, I have a hard time sometimes when I think about past hurts that I've encountered in the church to forbear and forgive. I'm not sure about you, but when the person serving communion have served you communion to come to you afterwards and let you know that your sermon sucks, it's hard to forbear that. When the person that you're in a small group for said they are going to pray for you, but yet you realize that you found out next week the things that you shared in quote-unquote confidentiality has been spread among your friends, my friends, it's hard to forbear. And not only does Paul says that we have to forbear, but now we have to forgive and we have a grievances against one another. What do you do when you have a grievances and it's with your husband or your wife or your kids or your boss? I won't say pastor because no one ever has anything against the pastor. As a result of putting on this compassion, as a result of putting on this kindness and humility, the Spirit of God continues to work inside of us. And we intentionally go out of our way to forgive and forbear. When I was in grad school, I was had this brilliant idea that I wanted to study in Israel for the semester. And to do so, I needed to take 17 units for one quarter. And to do so, I had to drive to San Diego to take Greek. And so every Monday for 10 weeks, I would drive 3 hours to San Diego. I would learn Greek for 4 hours, and I would drive back for 3 hours. And my Greek teacher, and thinking about why I was doing it, I realized now that God had a different plan of why I needed to take that class. And I got connected with my Greek teacher, and I remember him telling me the story of when his daughter was killed. She was riding in the car with her boyfriend, and basically they had an argument, and the boyfriend opened the door and threw her out, and she passed away. And he said, Marcus, within my spirit, there was anger, there was hurt, there was bitterness, there was rage, and there was slander. And I would have done anything to get my hands around that young man's neck. But in Christ, I had so much compassion and gentleness for this man that he would get to know the Lord before he leaves this earth. And so day after day after day, he would pray for him. He would go to the courthouse when he was on trial, and he would sit behind him and pray for him and say, you're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. God still loves you. You have taken my daughter, but it's all right, because if it means that your soul can be saved, then glory, hallelujah. Now, my friends, that's compassion. That's entering into the suffering of someone's. That's forbearing someone. That is forgiving someone. That's saying that even though you've taken my prized possession that God has blessed me with, that I still want to be a blessing to you because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And I want to intentionally love you even when it's not convenient, even when it hurts, even when it is painful. To forbear and to forgive. But how can we do this without love? Love is unifying. Above all else, if you can't do anything else, love God and love your neighbor. Love is the most unifying of anything. Love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:1. It says love is patient. Love is kind, love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. So why do we struggle with loving people? I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes I struggle with loving people. If I can be totally transparent, sometimes I even struggle with loving my youth, who I love dearly, on most days, depending on who it is. Andrew. But most days I do love them. But what does it mean to love as God loves us? Why do you think he says that love binds all these things together in perfect unity? If you don't have unity, you have discord. You have disconnectedness. And God doesn't dwell in disconnectedness, but he dwells in unity. And he calls us to be together in unity. When you wake up in the morning, I notice that everyone has clothes on today, and I thank you for that. You put your shoes on and your pants and your jacket and brush your teeth and you shower and you get ready. What would it look like if we as the church, and I'm talking to those who have laid down their old self and they are intentionally wanting to put on the love and these virtues, what will it look like if we woke up in the morning and say, I want to put on compassion. Like, I literally want to be compassionate to everyone I encounter today. I want to be compassionate to the person that cuts me off. I want to be compassionate to the Starbucks person that gets my order wrong. I want to be compassionate when I come to church and the person has taken my parking spot and sits in my seat. I want to be compassionate when I'm having a bad day. What does it mean to humble ourselves, to show humility? I think the greatest example that we have is that God humbled himself to the cross. And I know I said it earlier, but I have to say it again. That is a powerful thing that we're going to experience next week, that we celebrate the risen Savior by dying on the cross for our sins, that he entered into this world so that he could be the prime example of love, of what love means. So when I say that I struggle with this scripture this week, I mean to tell you, friends, that I struggle with the scripture this week. Because as though I think of the sins that I've encountered and I've witnessed from people in the church back for growing up, I think and I reflect about my own sins, about my own anger, about my own insecurity. And then I think that a God so loving can forgive me. Clearly, someone so broken can forgive them. When Christ abides in you and you abide in Christ and you bind all these things together in love, it can happen. My final story. Growing up in the inner city that I mentioned, there are kind of unspoken, unwritten rules in the inner city. And back then, there was the Bloods, and there was the Crips, and different gangs, and within the inner city, within Compton, within Watts, was, although it was a broken community, it was yet still a community. The Bloods had this corner, the Crips had this corner, but it was their sense of community. Yesterday, when I was struggling with this, I called my old boss from St. Luke's Episcopal Church that just left Long Beach last week, and he left a big-sized church to go to a little small church in New Jersey. So he left his suburban, you know, Long Beach Episcopal Cathedral with the beautiful 16 stained glasses to go work in the inner city of New Jersey where he is the only white person there. And I told him, I understand because I am one of the only black persons here. And as I was listening, I was telling him I was wrestling with this. He mentioned that, and I said, I'm sorry, Gary, I didn't even bother to ask you how your new job is going. And he said, you know, it's all right. And I was like, well, for someone that just left a really big church, it should be more than all right. He said, well, when I was at Long Beach, I got tired of just sitting behind my desk. And so here, yesterday, I got to go minister to the gang that's on the corner across the street from the church. And I said, well, how did you do that? He was like, I just went over and talked with them. And I said, what did they do? Well, he said, all of them left except one. One and stayed and had a conversation. And sometimes all it takes is just one to start the movement, to have a conversation. Because Gary said, you know, I don't know the guy, but being in Christ, I'm called to love the guy. I don't love their behavior, but I want to be able to reach their soul. When we put on these things in the mornings, the patience and kindness and the love and the forbear, if love binds all these things together, that means that we can pull out any of these virtues at any given moment so God can do the work in the person that we are in community with. You were given a journal, and if you haven't, we'll have some next Sunday, is I started writing down times where I had either received compassion or love or a gentle hug from someone. Sometimes it's a text message from one of my students. You know, sometimes they send awesome text messages because they're finna ask me for something, so they're trying to like warm me up a little bit, but nonetheless, it still gets written in the book. Or maybe it's a kind word from someone. Or maybe it's someone that, you know, I needed to forgive, and I took the opportunity, and I called them up, and I said, hey man, I actually did this last week when I was wrestling with this. There was a young man in Florida, and for some reason, he and I just didn't quite get along. And I felt that I was rude to him in our brief interaction. And so I actually reached out to him, and just check and see how he's doing. And I say, you know what? I was rude to you when I met you 3 years ago. And I said, there was no rhyme or reason. I was having a bad day, and you and I didn't really connect, and I didn't really even think anything of it. But I knew you were trying to get into undergrad, and you were working with Young Life, and I just want to call and to encourage you to realize that, hey, as a person, I have not made it. I'm so broken, and God is still working on me, and every day I put on the compassion, and I put on love, and I think that when we put on these things, it's a tight fit. I think when we put on the patience, it fits us perfectly, and I think it does that because we have a tendency to want to go back and be loose and wild when God wants us to be tight and fit. So I think when we put on these things, we're tight and fit so God can have our whole attention. So I told him in that moment, I wronged you, and I want to ask for your forgiveness. I don't want to say that I'm sorry, because I want you to participate in this. Because when you say I'm sorry, it's almost like, hey, yeah, I'm sorry I ran into your car, you know, hope you get it fixed, and you walk on. But no, I wronged you. I ran into your car. Will you please forgive me for my carelessness? And even if they're not at a place to forgive, that's all right. We're all at different seasons and different places in our journey. God calls us, though, to extend the hand. And we can do that when we have the patience, when we have the compassion, when we have the spirit, when we have the humility, when we're in the spirit to forgive and to forbear. So I would encourage you this week, just try it out. Just try it out tomorrow or try it out later on today before you go to bed. You know what? I was able to encounter kindness today. Someone that I need to forgive, I'm going to reach out to them and forgive them today. Because we serve a good God that does mighty great things in the body. And I would hate for this church, who I am so blessed to be here, so absolutely, you know, I love Boston, but when God called me here, and after having been here for over a year, I know that this is where I need to be at this place in this appointed hour. So I'm glad that I was obedient to the Spirit. So I would like us as a church family to learn how to continue to forbear and forgive, to continue to learn how to put on that compassion, even when it hurts, to stay at the table and offer forgiveness, and even to apologize, even if you think you haven't done anything wrong. Why? Because that's what love does. That's what it means to be in relationships. That's what it means to be intentional. It's to step outside of ourselves, to humble ourselves, and say, will you please forgive me? because you are loved. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for allowing us to put off our old self, to be clothed in righteousness. For Lord, you have called us your chosen. You called us and say that we are loved and that we are dearly loved. I ask, Lord, that under the sound of my voice, if there is anyone that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, if they are struggling with anything that the old man and what the devil has to offer, that they would right now, in their own time and their own space, that they would lay it down at your feet, and that they would fully embrace all the wonderful things that come with being in the body of Christ, Lord. Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, we ask that we shall meet again, Lord, and that when we see you, Lord, you will say, servant, well done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.